got a chance to speak today to the children. Right before this, we're in St. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27 through 38. And you know, the gospel is such a radical departure from what the world around us tells us. I mean, a lot of times we tend to equate Christianity with the Republican Party or being American and mom's apple pie and baseball and or even the more liturgical stuff some people equate Christianity. But really the gospel is such an utterly radical departure from what's in our own nature and the culture around us. And of course, Jesus, right before this, it's the Beatitudes prior to this set of verses. But this is really almost a manual on human relationships. How we're to interact, behave, particularly with those people who don't like us. Looking at the first couple verses, "But I say to you here, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." There's a conscious command. You know, we have to take the gospel at face value. I mean, what the master says, we're his servants, we must do. Jesus says, do this. How many of us in our day-to-day lives have prayer lists for people who aren't particularly nice to us? Our prayer lists tend to be focused on those close to us, the Christians, those people we get along with, our family, our children. But specifically, do we pray, do we make a conscious effort to, one, pray for those who mistreat us? And that can be anybody. I mean, that can be those close to us. It can be nations or countries or groups of people who aren't particularly kind or sympathetic to us as Christians. And do we make a conscious effort to bless those who curse us? And I don't know if you've ever encountered a situation where somebody wasn't particularly kind to you. And if you've ever gone and done something really, really nice for them, it almost turns the table. And our Lord knows that. It makes things very uncomfortable for them. What makes things uncomfortable for us is when we go off into our little closets and get all bitter and harbor resentment to somebody who's wronged us. The real freedom, the real release from being imprisoned by our own pettiness is to really go out and make a conscious effort to be nice and to be kind, particularly to those people who are hard to get along with. People who've been consciously mean, hateful, slanderous, libelous, whatever you want to call it, towards us. Even goes on further, if it takes on a physical, and you know, this is kind of probably an extreme measure, but are you ready? Verse 29, "Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either." Just an example, we had an incident at school today where a child went up and was kind of playing with another kid, teasing him and bumped him in the face. And the other kid got angry and wanted to retaliate and get him back. And the kid who retaliated was so scared because his father had instilled in him that if anybody mistreats you or touches you or whatever, that you need to come off and get them back. Contrary again to what the gospel says, are we as Christians, if we walk according to how the Lord tells us to walk and tells us how to live, are we even willing to offer our physical bodies to mistreatment? Are we opening ourselves up to that? If somebody, like he says, if somebody hits you on the cheek, hits you on the left cheek, are you going to give him the right one also? How far are we willing to go to really, you know, we say we have T-shirts that say Jesus is Lord. We have bumper stickers that say Jesus is Lord. We go around saying Jesus is Lord. Well, how much does that phrase manifest it in our daily lives? And I think that's what Jesus is asking. Onward. "Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back." Again, that's a radical statement, I think. That really, any demand, any stake we have on personal property seems to be burned up right there with that statement. And Jesus says, give to everyone. And I don't know Greek, and I know what the Greek says, but I'm sure that the word means everyone. Not discriminatory, not to somebody who we think is going to spend it one way or whatever, but whoever comes to us, do we have something to offer them? Are we ready to give? How many of you, somebody's come up to you and needed money, and you said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything, and you had money in your pocket? I think we've all done that. We may have even had, you know, just a few dollars. We could have probably parted with a couple dollars. Our humanity, our tendency is to say, that guy's a little shady, I don't know. I don't like the way he looks. I have a feeling he's going to do something. Again, Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't give us any kind of qualifiers. He just simply says, give to everybody who asks. And we know the one way, and I tell the truth, you know, the principles of God are completely opposite to the world. If you want to receive, what do you have to do? Give. If you want to live, you have to die. Yeah, I mean, it's backwards. And I try to get that across to the children. And if somebody takes something from you, don't demand it back. Don't go to the people's court. Don't go in front of Judge Brown. Let it go. Leave it alone. Now think about it. How many... I'm thirsty tonight, I'm sorry. How many Christians have developed ulcers over legal battles and grievances or whatever? Let it go. We don't own anything anyway. Again, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And there's freedom in that. You know, there's really kind of, in it, and I don't mean it to sound vagabondish, but there's freedom in the fact of knowing that really nothing I possess is mine. I'm the steward of it, but ultimately the ownership's with Him. And so if I'm in Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in me, and if somebody takes my shovel, they've really taken God's shovel and not Brent's shovel. You know, and is it going to cause, do we demand it back? And especially, is it going to cause any kind of resentment or barrier between two people? You know, sometimes there are things that are just better to let go. And again, Jesus is radical. I mean, he's, you know, we think of meek and mild and soft and sweet, but he's really radical when we listen to him, we listen to his words. Particularly what he tells us about the Eucharist, what he tells us about in the Beatitudes. I mean, just there's a whole host of things. But he really, you know, it talks about him coming with a sword. Jesus does. Jesus really cuts us open, gets down to the marrow, gets down to where the rubber meets the road. It's no longer about being a Republican. It's no longer about comfort and mom's apple pie and baseball. It's about being totally surrendered towards him. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. Again, we must wake up every morning with a conscious effort to treat people the way we want to be treated. Now, if you're masochistic and like to be tormented by people and have people be ugly to you, I don't know how you maybe get beyond that, but how do you want to be treated? When I get up and I come to work or I come to church, I want all of my human interactions to be civil, to be pleasant, to be kind, to be a blessing. Not strife, not full of strife, not adversarial, not with backbiting. I need slack. I don't know about you in your life, but my life particularly, I need slack. I need people to cut me lots and lots and lots and lots of slack. And far be it from me not to cut other people lots and lots and lots and lots of slack. I need it because I need to be treated that way. I need some room. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. Goes on further, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And that's the truth. I was telling the children today, you know, if you're really, if you have a lot of money, people will treat you well. And if you go, I was giving the illustration, if you go to the Beverly Hills Hotel, whatever the name of it is, and you have lots of money or you're a movie star, you're going to be treated very, very well because you have the ability to repay them. They're being nice to you because they can extract something from you. Not so if you're the homeless person on Hollywood Boulevard or wherever. If you walk in there, they're going to escort you out, probably call the police. It's really, really easy. It's really, really easy to love my wife and my children. Because I think they love me. I'm pretty sure they love me back, you know. It's much harder to love those who I know really don't love me and probably don't care to love me or care to like me or anything. Those are who I'm called to love. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Because even sinners do the same. Even the world does that. That's easy. That's a no-brainer. Well, yeah, I'm going to do good to you, but, you know, tit for tat. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's not very deep. That's not a very deep way to interact with people. Very surface, very shallow. If you're only good to those who are good to you, or you only love those who can somehow love you back or repay you or have something to offer for you. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Part of our financial crisis is because of behavior contrary to this statement. I mean, we live in a day of a lending crisis. We live in a time where people only want to give you something if, A, they're going to get that back, and secondly, they're going to get 25% interest or 20% interest or 18% interest. And, you know, there used to be actually, of course, there were usury laws. When I first moved to Arkansas, Arkansas was one of the few states that still had usury laws on the books. And you could get like a bank credit card in Arkansas and it had real low interest rates because they had. And for a long time, it was always thought that Christians should never charge interest to other people. Now, that, again, that's another, that's speaking outside the text here. But again, are we giving things? Again, that's holding on. I don't own anything. It's the Lord who owns everything. And if we lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Because even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount and more. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And that's another thing. Are we living our lives? Are we living out our Christianity expecting nothing in return, and nothing in return in the sense of this world? Because we really do live in a time where we think so horizontal now that everything is what's going to happen now? What am I going to get out of it now? I've got to have it now. A lot of us lose sight of that treasure in heaven. Are we doing things not expecting anything in return here, but expecting return there? And that takes real faith, doesn't it? Because we're really not sure what it's going to be like when we receive it. But we have to have faith. Expecting nothing. Again, here's one of those words. What does the Greek word mean? What does nothing mean? Probably nothing. Expecting nothing in return. No recognition. No notoriety, but your reward will be great. And what will it distinguish you as? It will distinguish you as the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind and ungrateful to evil men. And God is grateful and kind, or He's good and kind to the just and the unjust. His mercies flow and His blessings flow on even the most heinous people. Just the fact of how He sustains the world and all that He does. If God can be kind to ungrateful and evil men, then so must I. Verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now here's, I think, you know, and this is a real tough one for us all, because we as Christians, particularly after we become saved or we've been Christians for a while, tend to build up like this point system where we think we kind of have this spiritual superiority to be unmerciful to people because they're not quite as, they haven't walked with the Lord as long, or they're outside the fold, they're not Christian, or be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You know, and it's always important, I think, to make a list of your sins, and not to be morbid or overly retrospective, but make a list of your sins, big and little, that you can recall, and say, God forgave me of that. Wow, and He forgave me of that. Man, and He forgave me of that. And remember, in 1985, He forgave me of that, and so forth. If God can be merciful to your list of sins, as awful and dirty as they might be, and they all are, then we must be merciful. And the funny thing is, my list of sins against God are as long as this room and out the door and who knows how far that way. But somebody may have one grievance against a person. They may have offended us one time, yet we withhold mercy from them. It's awful. It's awful when I do it. It's awful when anybody does it. We have to be merciful. If anything distinguishes a Christian, it's mercy. And again, mercy puts you in a place of power. People don't realize that. When you give out mercy, that is a powerful act. You may be just. You really may be just in having a grievance against this person. But mercy says that I am going to, even though I really may have a genuine grievance against this person, really genuinely may have offended me, but God gives us the power to forgive them. God gives us the power to release them and to release ourselves in turn. Do not judge and you will not be judged, and do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will be pardoned. Now, I don't know what kind of condemnation he's talking about. I mean, he's talking to us as saved Christians. But if we condemn, we do come under some sort of condemnation. We do come under some sort of, I don't know whether you want to label it punishment or wrath or disunion with fellowship. But there's some sort of condemnation. There's some sort of writ that's given against us when we condemn others. And when we pardon, through our action of pardoning, we are in turn pardoned. How can I withhold pardon from somebody who's miffed me in a conversation when God has pardoned me of lying, adultery, murder, theft, whatever it might be, blasphemy, idolatry? How? It's impossible. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you in return. So if your measuring stick is real precise and you're a stickler, then you're going to receive that same sort of measurement come back to you in life. And, you know, I see it. It's amazing. We've all had this. You know, when we're merciful to people, have you not experienced the mercy of God coming back to you? When you cut people slack, doesn't God, in situations that are really outside of your control, doesn't God really give you a lot of leeway, a lot of breathing room? You know, that pressed down, shaken together, run over, I was looking at that, and it was talking about, in the Old Testament, you know, if somebody had an acre of land, you couldn't harvest the corners of the land because that was for the poor and the widow and all that. And so what these poor people would do is they would come, they would pick the grain or whatever, and they would shake their baskets. Because, you know, when you shake something, it settles. Then you can put more in and you shake it. And then it settles again and you put more in. And so that's what it's talking about here. That when we give to others, it will be given back to us in abundance. When we're merciful to people, mercy is going to come back to us. If we're merciful to the people in our daily lives, then, and I really believe this, if we walk in mercy, then our creditors are going to be merciful to us. Our people that we owe things to, the people that have genuine things against us are going to be merciful. You release something supernatural when you walk in mercy. Pray for those who hate us. Hate me, hate you. Bless them consciously. Offer them your body, even if they want to go as far as that. Give to everyone. Treat others the same way, the golden rule. Don't love people simply because they love you. Love people because they may not love you at all. Lend and don't expect anything in return. Nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And again, if we want to be distinguished as God's sons and God's daughters, then we have to act like His sons and daughters. And that's what Jesus is telling us. And again, let your measuring stick... when I was in school, the rulers were wood. Now they're plastic. You can stretch them. Let our measuring sticks be that way. Flexible. Merciful. Pardoning. Amen?